I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You. There's something that can do a real job on your tomatoes.
What's that?
The tomato hornworm.
Have you had issues with tomato hornworms lately?
Well, last year I think I had a bit of that, but I didn't plant this year, so that kind of put an end to the problem.
What's the... I've been known to plant tomatoes just so I could get the tomato hornworms.
So that you could parasitize them with something else, right?
Well, they're parasitized all by themselves. I just get to stand there and photograph them. I don't eat tomatoes myself. They'll stunt your growth, so...
Well, the only thing that I had seen was the actual worm on the tomato until just recently. And I saw this rather large moth drawn to a porch light, and it would fit into the angle of my thumb and forefinger. It was
oh, cool.
Rather large moth. I have a picture of that.
Yeah.
But I also have a video. It has what looks like to me aposomatic coloration or dots or something on its abdomen.
Right. They have 5 yellow-orange spots along each side of the abdomen, hence their scientific name, Manduca quinque maculata. Whereas the tobacco hornworm is Manduca sexta, referring to the fact that it has 6 of those spots on each side of the adult's abdomen. And if you look at the caterpillar, the tomato hornworm has 8 V-shaped stripes on the abdomen that connect over the back, whereas the tobacco hornworm has only 7 straight stripes on each side.
But I take it that these are very closely related.
They are. They're in the same genus, and they're often confused with one another. And the caterpillars both feed on solanaceous plants, so they'll go after things in the tomato family.
Tobacco and tomato in the same thing?
They are, as is potato and potato and eggplant and peppers.
That's why you said it would stunt your growth, right?
Yeah.
I got you. Finally, the joke catches up. Are they, in fact, bad tasting to other animals?
I don't know that they're bad tasting, but I assume just because of the bright colors, it might discourage some predators from taking a shot at them. But usually, they're pretty fast flyers. In fact, that one on your video is doing something very interesting. Why don't you describe it to us?
Well, he was sitting there on the wall, just perfectly still,
yeah.
And I decided just to tap its wing a little bit, and
mm-hmm.
It started to flutter so fast.
Right.
You really can't see the definition of the wings.
Right.
But the wonderful thing about him fluttering is he opened those wings so I could see the aposomatic colors on his abdomen.
Right. Well, when they're fluttering like that, what they're doing is they're warming up. Insects are poikilothermic, which means that they can't regulate their body temperature in relation to the ambient temperature. So they have to engage in various physiological or behavioral activities in order to crank up their body temperature. In the case of moths, they start fluttering their wings. And what they're doing is they're vibrating their thoracic muscles. And the friction of those muscles working in close proximity to one another warms them up. It's just like you
shivering,
rubbing your hands together on a cold morning to get the circulation going. They're doing the same thing because their thoracic temperatures have to reach a certain level before they're able to take flight. Most insects are operating just a degree or two below their lethal temperature, which is why when an insect gets trapped in a jar or in a car or something like that, they usually don't survive very long because they're already running hot. And if their body temperature increases just a few degrees more,
boom,
they're done.
And so are we. Dr. Art Evans is the author of the National Wildlife Federation Field Guide to Insects and Spiders of North America. You'll find photos, audio, and a link to Art's blog at ideastations.org/radio/bugs.